Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Tom, do you realize the next time we will be back here in the studio live for our Friday program will be the Friday after the holidays? Because a week from today is Christmas, so we'll have a special program, a best of, as we call it. I like to say segments that are worth a second airing, and then New Year's, 2 weeks from today, as we wave goodbye, putting 2020 in the rearview mirror where I think the whole planet.
So after this Friday, the next Friday is going to be
Christmas.
In the new year.
Yeah.
We'll be doing other shows, our regular shows.
Of course. And we'll be
before
course,
Friday. Yeah.
Of course. We'll be live back here in the studio on Monday. I was just specifically talking about the Friday programs, but it is Buckmaster live with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio for this Friday, December the 18th, 2020. We're on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, Worldwide Live Listening. Anyone can hear this program. If you have a computer anywhere in the world, buckmastershow.com. We put up all of our podcasts, 10 years worth of programming. We launch year number 11, the first week of January. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Friday, we do a big shout out to our friends in the Tucson media, including TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. The Friday Focus interview today, Dr. Randy Free, Democrat representing Arizona's Legislative District Number 9, which covers central Tucson. Dr. Freeze was first elected to the House in 2014. He was reelected this November to a fourth two-year term. Dr. Freeze is a trauma surgeon and associate professor of surgery at Banner University Medical Center at the University of Arizona. 10 years ago, speaking of 10 years ago, it was coming up on 10 years this upcoming January 8th that Dr. Freeze was part of the team that treated Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords and others involved in the Tucson shooting tragedy. And by the way, 3 weeks from today, that's what that date is, we will have Ron Barber as our special guest. Joining me on the live line with Dr. Freeze, Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you?
Oh, I'm pretty frazzled this Friday. How about you?
Yeah, I know you're frazzled. I know you're working on a bunch of stories, but I do really appreciate you carving out about 40 minutes for us. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Dr. Freeze, I have so many questions about this upcoming session, and you've probably...
First
of all, it's good to talk with you, and I'm sure I'm not alone in these questions about this upcoming session in these very, very difficult times. These numbers here in Arizona, these case numbers are off the charts, as you're very well aware of. Will this be, Dr. Freeze, a virtual session when the legislature is gaveled into order in a little over 3 weeks?
Yeah, I wish I could give you a definitive answer to that. I am not completely clear on what the majority is proposing for House procedures. I mean, of course, I absolutely support a virtual hybrid session, if you will. We have a lot of work to do. Other options that have been thrown around or other states have done is, we have to convene and then we have to get sworn in. But another option would be to adjourn for another 4 to 6 weeks to get these numbers down. But I think the best option, because we do have a lot of work to do in my mind, is a virtual sort of hybrid session where some people are there and some people are attend virtually. And, of course, the public should be able to attend virtually as well.
Could that be done virtually? I mean, do we have the technology to do this? And is it legal to do that?
Well, we have been doing legislative business through this interim virtually. We did on the House floor pass a motion to allow members to remotely vote from the floor. We could certainly do that rule change again. We've had JLBC meetings. We've had ad hoc interim committee meetings virtually and hybrid as well. We've had meetings where some people were present, other people were virtual. I'm certain it can be done. The logistics, I think we have the technology to do it. It's just working out the logistics. How do you get the public to participate virtually and things like that?
Tim Steller, join our conversation.
Hey there, Dr. Freeze. So last 4 years, I believe you were part of the Democratic leadership in the minority in the House. And this year, the leadership has changed over completely. Can you tell us what happened there? Like, how come the Democratic caucus moved on?
I don't know if it's a moved on issue. I didn't run for leadership position. I was really working towards getting a Democratic majority. I was looking forward to being a committee chairperson. And then, you know, when we didn't achieve that majority, we ended up with 31-29 again. I elected not to run for leadership and felt it was time for some new people to take those roles over. Reggie, Mr. Boulding has certainly been in leadership for the past 2 years, so he is now the leader.
Oh, I didn't recall that he was part of leadership. What was Representative Boulding's leadership position the last couple of years?
He was one of the co-whips. We had
co-whips,
a leader, assistant leader, and then we had two co-whips, and he was one of those two.
And we do have a local leader, right, Dr. Freeze? Domingo de Grazia, state representative, will be the minority whip for the Democrats, correct? Yeah.
This legislature, we had went back to just a single whip. So we have Mr. Boulding as the leader. We have Ms. Longden from the Phoenix area is assistant leader, and then Mr. DeGrasse is the whip.
I want to switch to the governor's, the way he has handled the COVID crisis. Dr. Freeze, we are one of the few states, as you are very well aware, only a handful do not have a mandatory mask requirement. I'm sure you are disappointed with that. Would a mandatory mask requirement have saved lives, in your opinion, in this state?
Yeah, I believe it would have, and it still can. So it is not too late to implement that that requirement. And why I believe that is that I believe that masks absolutely do prevent a transmission, and I actually also helps people understand the seriousness of this problem. This is a serious problem. Not necessarily because it is a terribly deadly disease, you know, causing a lot of grief in families, but it also does things like lock up our healthcare resources. And we're so focused on taking care of the very sick COVID patients and then the not so in the ICU, and then the COVID patients that require hospital admission on the floor, and then the COVID patients that are coming to the ER and getting sent back home, that we don't have the resources to care for, provide the healthcare for other things. You know, people getting hurt, people having just regular medical healthcare problems, and then there are people that are chronically ill that need access to healthcare. That is another big piece that people aren't getting that is really causing problems in our healthcare system. So I think it would prevent transmission, and it would make people understand this is a very serious problem.
You know, I am so concerned. I'm hearing these reports. People are refusing treatment if they're in an automobile accident when they need to go to the hospital and see someone like you, a trauma surgeon. They are refusing treatment, Dr. Freeze, because they don't want to go anywhere near the hospital because of COVID. We're also hearing stories about people with heart conditions who need to get to the emergency room. They are not. What do you want to tell our listeners about this?
Oh, I would say please don't hesitate to access the healthcare that you require. Here in the hospital, we're very conscious and we're very aware of making sure that we're protecting our patients as well as protecting ourselves. So wearing the appropriate protective equipment, including the N95 masks, face shields, eye goggles, and the same thing for our patients. Please come to the hospital with a mask, and we'll make sure that you are protected when you get your evaluation.
Okay, Tim, join in.
Yeah. We've heard a lot of talk about the statewide mask mandate, and Governor Ducey has deflected several times when pressed on that, but is that the only thing he can do, or are there other things that he or we as various government bodies should be doing that we aren't doing?
Well, I think that one of the things that the Tucson Mayor and Council did a week or so ago was initiate a nighttime curfew. Pima County had a voluntary curfew, and they followed up and made that mandatory as well. I think, again, it does two things. It limits the nighttime gatherings that happen in downtown, certain businesses or people's homes, or, you know, and it also, again, helps to give people a sense of how serious this problem is. Some people say, oh, the nighttime gatherings or the nighttime curfew is not going to do anything, but I think it will. Limit gatherings. When you limit gatherings, you're slowing transmission, and you are giving people the sense that this is a serious problem.
Well, what about business closures, gyms, bars, et cetera? Is that something you think the governor should be doing at this stage, or the various local governments?
I don't think we're doing enough. I don't know if going all the way to another shutdown is the answer, but I think we could do more with encouraging less capacity, making sure that people are not doing in-person dining and moving things outside, as the governor has tried, again, highlighting patronizing these businesses when you can by getting food to take away, food to delivery. I think there are some creative things that we aren't yet doing, but if the numbers continue to precipitously rise, I would absolutely say another shutdown should not be off the table. I'm not saying it's exactly time for it yet, but it shouldn't be something that we absolutely refuse to do, upright.
Now, on the other side of the aisle, some of your colleagues up at the legislature think we have done too much when it comes to COVID mitigation,
yeah.
Bill. So they think we have done, or they think that the state, that the governor has too much emergency power. And one of the things that they will be looking at in this new session is a way to take away those emergency powers. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, particularly in light of a public health emergency, having the executive being able to make some very quick and thoughtful decisions with his, with his directors and things like that, with his advisors, is important. It's hard to get 90 people to agree and quickly, expeditiously put in place some meaningful efforts to mitigate. So I think the governor needs to have these authorities. There is something called the Emergency Council that is actually already in statute that exists to help guide the governor and review some of the spending. The president of the Senate and the Speaker of the House sit on that council, but this council hasn't been functioning as it should during this emergency. In my opinion, we need to follow the statutes that are currently in place before we start layering in new limitations and restrictions and regulations.
All right, let's pause right here. Dr. Freeze, what do you like on your holiday table? What type of pie would you prefer this year? Do you prefer the pumpkin? Do you like the pecan? What's on your mind right now?
Well, I'll say that as a child, as a younger person, I preferred the pumpkin pie, my mother's recipe. But now I've come to appreciate, after living in Texas for almost a decade, the pecan pie and the different variations of that.
Mm, maybe a dollop of whipped cream or two on top of that would be really good, or a scoop of ice cream. What about you, Tim? Have I asked you this before?
Not often enough. not with sufficient results, I have to say.
Yeah. What are you leaning toward?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I turned away from cherry pie a long time ago because it was just too sweet.
Wow.
But I don't know if you noticed the last couple of days there was a change in the Food and Drug Administration regulations about what can be in cherry pie.
Really?
So it used to be, basically they're trying to limit how much sugar and garbage is in frozen pies, that kind of thing.
Oh.
But reading those stories really gave me a taste for cherry pie. As long as it's not too sweet, that's what I want.
Well, I think Steve and the gang up at Mona's Danish Bakery can accommodate whatever request you have for your holiday pie. Put in your request now. Go to monasdanishbakery.com. They're open right now. You can stop in, say hello. Of course, you wear your mask. Put in your order for Christmas pies, the dinner rolls, all of that at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. Happy holidays from Mona's. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Friday focus interview today, Dr. Randy Fries, Democrat representing Arizona Legislative District Number 9, covering most of the central Tucson area. Dr. Fries recently reelected just last month to a second four-year term in the Arizona House of Representatives. Joining us on the other live line today, Tim Steller, columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. Dr. Fries, is there a day that, shall we say, a day that doesn't go by that you don't reflect on those tragic events that happened in this community 10 years ago, this upcoming January 8th, where Congresswoman Giffords was before you in the emergency room, basically in wonderful 20 to 30 minutes after the shooting, pretty much on an operating table. What you reflect on this, I'm sure, daily, don't you?
Well, certainly this time of year, reflection is more frequent. There, you know, we see gunshot trauma in our emergency room, you know, several times a month, if not weekly. And this is something that I made a priority for myself when I went to the legislature in trying to get open, honest discussions about gun safety and responsible gun ownership. And I've written several pieces of legislation geared toward that. Haven't been very successful at moving it forward, but certainly very successful at having discussions with stakeholders and getting legislation written.
Tim Steller, come on in.
Yeah, so one thing we've thought about, I've been thinking about with colleagues, is how things, I don't want you to have to rethink this, but, you know, back 10 years ago around this time, Jared Loughner was probably starting to get agitated and come up with his plan. And he carried it out that day, you know, January 7th and January 8th. Is there any reason to think that a similarly, you know, situated person couldn't try to do the same thing or couldn't do the same thing? Even, you know, I don't see any changes in laws that have made it any, would have made it any harder. Do you think it would be harder?
Well, I think that a very determined person could certainly put in place a similar plan. My thoughts on, you know, making our community safer and protecting the public from gun violence and senseless gun violence, basically, is it's got to be multifaceted. The solution is not one thing. It is many, many things, some of them seemingly small, but very important in bringing about incremental change. Other facets are going to be a little bit more complicated, a little bit more harder to get people to accept. But we have, and I've always said, let's just start with the incremental change, however small, as long as we believe it's moving us incrementally more towards a safer community as far as gun violence and senseless gun violence goes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Are there specific incremental changes that have been achieved that you think would make this kind of thing, you know, that incremental amount less likely to be carried out?
Well, I will say, Tim, and I'm glad you're asking this. I will say, you know, I have some ideas that are the more larger pieces of the puzzle, but I also have some ideas that are smaller pieces of the puzzle, like addressing the concealed carry weapons sort of problem. The concealed carry weapons permit allows someone to bypass a background check if they purchase a firearm from a federally licensed firearms dealer. A federally licensed firearms dealer must do a background check unless you have a valid CCW permit. The problem with our permits is that they last 4 years. And if you become if you become a prohibited possessor within that 5-year period, you still have a valid card in your possession. And I'm trying to create a web portal where FFLs must check the validity of the CCW. If it's invalid, then they just do the background check. Other things, though, however, have been incrementally changing, and they're sort of harder to notice. And the fact that we're passing fewer and fewer laws that expand guns everywhere and the ease of having a gun everywhere. When I first started the legislature elected in 2014, started in 2015, we had many bills on the agenda that were saying guns can be taken everywhere and it's the community's responsibility to pay for metal detectors or guards to take guns away from people if they don't want them in their building or in their event. See, that has all stopped. In fact, 2 years ago, I think it was, might have been last year, there was a bill to say that you could take a loaded gun onto school grounds. Right now, the statutes say you can have a gun in your car, but it must be unloaded if you're on school grounds. They wanted to change it to loaded, and that did not pass. That did not happen. And I see that as important incremental change. The legislature is not expanding the universe as quickly as we had in the past. So I think, you know, things are changing slowly, but yes.
All right. Tim, if you had nothing else on that, I wanted to go back to this legislative session, this proposal that Arizona law would allow anyone to demand a vote recount if they're willing to pay for it. This is being put forth by Senator J.D. Mesnard. That seems like it would open the door. You could have a whole line of people, Dr. Freeh, saying, oh, I want a recount. And then there'll be another one saying, I want a recount, and I'm willing to pay for it. Some of your thoughts.
I'm having some trouble with that. I think that was an idea that might have been posed in the past. I don't remember, but I feel like it's the senator may be responding to some pressure from his constituency on this issue, but it does seem fraught with some problems. And as you said, when does the recounting stop?
And
can people band together and get one recount? You know, if they all chip in and pay for it, it seems to me fraught with a lot of uncertainties and not clear in its maybe clear in its intent, but not clear in its execution.
So much that needs to be addressed with COVID-related economic issues for this session. So what do you place, Dr. Randy Freeh, at the top of the agenda?
I think we need to fix our unemployment insurance program. Arizona is the second lowest benefit and uninsurance employment benefit in the nation. $240 a week is what I want to think. Now, that had been augmented by the CARES Act money from the federal government. We have unemployment insurance keeps people in their homes. As everyone is talking about now, we have a horrible cliff in front of us of evictions that could be happening tens of thousands, if not more, even here in Tucson. In the country, we're talking about millions probably. But our uninsurance program needs to be able to support people so they can stay in their homes and feed their families when they have times of joblessness, like without any fault of their own, like this pandemic. It keeps the economy afloat by having people, having the landlords get the money they need to pay their mortgages and maintain their buildings. It is a safety net that Arizona has allowed the netting to get too big, and we need to tighten it up and make sure that we're capturing people before they fall into homelessness.
Here's Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star.
But why has it nobody, at least in the majority, apparently tried to use the $1 billion rainy day fund that we have? Do you have any idea?
Well, you know, we have been proposing that this is a time for some of these programs to be shored up and expanded, and certainly the budget stabilization fund or the rainy day fund is a source of funds for that. I don't know why the majority is reticent to utilize that outside of political reasons, saying, hey, this is what we have in reserve. And, you know, there are some other things that have been going on with the CARES Act monies that I'd like to look into deeply. Some agencies were told to spend CARES Act monies for operational budgets, and that money then flows back to the general fund. So instead of using CARES Act monies to help families, we're allowing our general fund to be more robust. I mean, there are pluses and minuses, pros and cons to every thought, but I think we need to have our priorities focused on hardworking Arizona families that need help.
So the budget for 2021 will look. How will that look with all in light of COVID?
Well, right now the one-time funds that we have available seem to be more robust than was initially predicted. I'm not sure of the ongoing projections right now, but we are not in as dire circumstance as we thought we might be. And that's, again, because of the federal CARES Act money that came back into the state. So things could certainly change on a dime if the surge does not sort of start to retreat. We could start having issues again, or if the government can get their act together, or the federal government get their act together and get another CARES Act plan funded and passed and out to the pockets of families that needed to survive, we could certainly be looking at a very dire situation. But right now, things aren't as bad as predicted just, you know, short time ago this summer.
Why are we seeing this surge? Thanksgiving now has been at least 3 weeks. The incubation period for COVID is usually about 7 days, maybe as long as 12. Why are we still seeing these huge numbers? What is your thought on that?
Well, I think that you're right. The Thanksgiving holiday, people did travel too much. I think people did get together with people that are outside of their bubble, if you will, who they live with and who they see with daily. And I think that continued. I mean, we had probably a large amount of that happening over the Thanksgiving weekend. And then, the infection transmission didn't all happen in one day, right? It probably happened over the span of a week. So we're seeing, hopefully, the tail end of that. The flip side of that is we're going on to a new holiday where people like to gather together, and we really need to get the message out that unfortunately, Christmas 2020 is a time for smaller celebrations and making sure that we're safe and keeping our family selves, keeping each other safe. I think that's one of the bottom lines here, is that this is not about each one of us individually. This is about all of us together and getting through this.
All right, Tim, I'm going to have to wrap it up here. Do you have anything else on your agenda that would require a quick question and answer?
Do the Republican colleagues in the House who you work with actually believe the election, there was a fraud in Arizona's election? I'm talking about outside of people, true believers like Mark Fincham and Brett Roberts, or are they just kind of playing along to the base who wants to believe the election was stolen?
You know, I wish I could answer that. You know, I haven't talked frankly with each and every one of my Republican colleagues. Those have made their views known through social media. It's quite obvious. Others have been somewhat, you know, quiet on the issue. But, you know, unfortunately, there is a loud constituency. I'm getting thousands of emails saying, you know, stop the steal, things like that. I think that my Republican colleagues might be more susceptible to not wishing to give their personal viewpoints on this issue because of that loud constituency. But it's very clear this election was safe, as always. Arizona has done mail-in balloting for 20 years. There's no question that this is a very valid, safe election, and we're chasing down rabbit holes here, wasting people's time and money.
All right, Dr. Randy Fries, I want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season. Stay safe. Continue the work you're doing as one of our frontline workers in the medical field and the work you'll be doing up in Phoenix very shortly. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Dr. Randy Fries with us. Tim Steller sticks around after we take the break. I've got some things I want to bring up with Tim. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line, courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Hello,
I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We thank Dr. Randy Fries for a content-driven 40 minutes or so of talking about the pandemic and the upcoming legislative session. Tim Steller sticks around on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. You know, Tim, they say everything old is new again. Your column this week was very interesting. There are still a lot of people in this town that think the results of the 2006 RTA election, they were somehow fraudulent, and they don't believe them today. And of course, that harkens back to what's going on with this whole movement about doubting election results and wondering what in the world are our elections going to look like going forth? Is everybody, every candidate who loses, no matter by how much amount, saying, "Oh, I want a hand recount"?
Yeah, well, there's J.D. Mesnard has introduced this bill, that, as you mentioned, that would allow for people to pay for a recount. It could be anybody. It wouldn't even just be the candidates. It would be it could be someone from the general public. For example, a candidate's, you know, deep-pocketed supporter could ask for a recount. We're entering dangerous territory where, like, anyone can just make up anything and say there's doubt because I feel like there's doubt, and therefore the doubt has to be entertained, and ever more proof has to be provided that there wasn't fraud. In other words, you have to prove a negative. Instead of having to prove that there was fraud, you have to prove that there wasn't fraud. So yeah, we're entering dangerous territory, and I can understand why some of the, as I was alluding in the question to Dr. Fries, I can understand why some of the Republican legislators are loath to cross those who believe there is fraud, because they are passionate Republican supporters. On the other hand, at some point, people have to stand up for the system and say, hey, you know, these people worked their best and there has been no evidence produced of fraud. In adversarial settings, such as a courtroom, nobody's dared to say the crazy things they've said outside of courtroom. So, yeah, we're entering dangerous territory as far as I'm concerned.
You know, it's this whole thing on the internet. You can find whatever you want to believe with the conspiracy theories. So I guess there's a, you know, what you think is truth, you can find now. your truth through social media by going to a particular website or getting in a chat. I mean, that's nobody believes anything that unless they're very comfortable in their particular group believing something.
Right. People start with a conclusion and work their way backward. And that's what you're seeing, like with Kelly Ward and the Arizona GOP party structure right now. You know, they begin with the assumption that there was fraud, that there's no way Joe Biden could have won Arizona, even though, you know, if there was fraud, you would think the fraudsters would have handed the legislature or at least one chamber to the Democrats. So they start with this presumption, and then they come up with quote-unquote experts who speak at, you know, they don't give sworn testimony, at least to anybody who could punish them, because they could be punished for some of the stuff that they allege unless they're very careful. So the long story short is, they're keeping this alive, and it's in part revenge, quote unquote, on Democrats for going after Trump on the Russia connection. And it's in part just a deep faith that there's no way the country that they imagine could have voted for Joe Biden. There's a kind of misperception of what the country is and who the country is that I think is behind this unshakable faith.
Tim, I'm glad to see, I saw you mentioned on Facebook, you're working on a column about how the pandemic has affected the criminal justice system. On our political roundtable a couple of weeks ago, we had two very well-known attorneys, Jeff Rogers and John Munger, who rarely ever agree on anything, but we spent a whole segment talking about how there have been no trials, basically, going on, criminal trials here in Pima County, and that the people's rights to a speedy trial have been completely thrown out the window. And both these very well-known attorneys here in Tucson say this is really a travesty.
Yeah, it's not just that. I mean, every aspect of, well, everything's been affected, but every aspect of criminal justice, from, you know, arrest to sentencing, to, you know, everything's been thrown out of whack. And, you know, it gives, I mean, on the one hand, for a defendant, if you want a speedy trial, you're not going to get one.
Nope.
On the other hand, it does give the defendant some leeway in the sense, some leverage in the sense that if you're offered a plea bargain, what's your incentive to take it? Nothing is going to, you know, force you into trial right now. So you might as well just hold out. So it perverts the system one way or the other. But as we're seeing now with the surge in coronavirus cases, I mean, there's a real reason for it. And it's just a unintended consequence of trying not to, you know, try to prevent the spread that finally we're actually seeing.
Are you going to have that for Sunday's paper?
Oh, I'm working on a few different things at once, so you'll have to just buy the paper and see.
All right, I'll be. Kept.
I know you do.
I do. Well, over 30 years, I've had that paper through good times and bad for the Star delivered to my doorstep, but I do want to talk about. Hospitality is the lifeblood of the community, and you talked about a little of this in your column earlier this week. That we do these curfews and everything, and it is, of course, hurting the hospitality industry. I think we need to somehow figure out how we're going to help these people in the hospitality industry going forward in 2021.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's not just a local issue in Tucson, although maybe proportionally hospitality is a bigger part of our economy than in Phoenix, for example. In Phoenix, and especially if you think of Scottsdale or some of those specific locations, if you think of Flagstaff, you know, the Grand Canyon area, hospitality is a huge industry all over Arizona. And that's why I've been pushing for the state and local governments, and of course the federal government, to do as much as they can to support people who are put out of work by the pandemic and by measures to mitigate the spread of the virus. We have the money, or in the case of the federal government, we have the ability to borrow the money. And there's just no reason. We should have been paying bar owners to stay closed. We should have been paying gym owners to stay closed. We should have been helping out those put out of work at a higher level of unemployment insurance. This is the rainy day that we set aside money in a rainy day for. And so I don't know what people are waiting for. I guess they would prefer to protest mitigation measures rather than actually, you know, just helping the people who are hurt by the mitigation measures.
Are you going to be getting the COVID shot? Have you decided about that?
Oh, yeah. I don't even consider it really a decision. I mean,
right.
I'm sure some people do, but I don't. I just, as soon as it's available, I will. But it sounds like it's going to be a long time.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. And that gets back to the whole thing about what do you want to believe on social media, because they're saying right now one out of four people in this country are not going to get this shot. They think it's harmful or for whatever reason. But a lot of misinformation about this continues to be spread through these conspiracy theories on social media, Tim Steller.
Yeah, I mean, it could go either way depending on how the vaccine program plays out. You know, if there are one or two adverse reactions that get a lot of publicity, they may be, you know, within the normal in terms of the proportion of adverse reactions to vaccines performed. But if they get a lot of publicity, then there may be more rejection. I suspect and I hope that as the vaccine plays out, as the program expands, that it will become more and more common and people just do it. But yeah, I also think there are sinister interests or just ill-informed ones that are going to fight it at all costs just to cause havoc.
All right, Tim, we will let you get back to work as you make some decisions about where you want to go with your with your upcoming column. Whatever the decision is, we'll look for it and see it in print on Sunday in the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, I want to thank you here at the end of the year, and I try to thank you every time you're on the program for your support of our program and our work. And I want to wish you and your family all the best in 2021. 2021, we hope, will be a lot better.
Yep. Thank you, Bill. Thanks. And best to you and Ann, too.
Thank you very much. Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star. We'll look for his work coming up in the paper on Sunday. Coming up, Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist with the Weekend Watch Tips of the Week after this.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There it is, that music, Stir It Up, Baby, by Bob Marley, as we get ready to welcome in the weekend, Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Our friends over in Silver City say, please think about Silver City for your travel calendar once it's safe to visit again, the land of enchantment. It'd be a great getaway, three-hour drive east of Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for what to do and where to stay in a beautiful area of the Southwest portion of the Land of Enchantment. Now, let's welcome the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell, who has the Santa suit. He brought it out again. It's been 10, this is a 10-year ritual for Weekend Watch. This is our 10th Weekend Watch Christmas edition, getting out the old Santa suit. Matt, you've put on a couple of pounds, and please don't send it again to the dry cleaners after this.
I keep wanting to sue my dry cleaners because it keeps shrinking, but I think it's not their fault, Bill.
Oh, the jolly old guy has all sorts of great tips for us. What's going on over at Renee's?
Yeah, you know, in stock market talk, you know, there's bull markets and bear markets with clear winners and losers, but there's a new bulk market at
what?
Renee's Organic Oven. Yeah, check it out. On Tancredi and Sabino Canyon Road, she's giving us the opportunity to purchase some of her signature foods in bulk. They've got an online marketplace. You can get 12-ounce jars of their famous marinara, their pizza sauce, loaves of freshly baked focaccia bread, pans of lasagna, whole chocolate cakes with 12 huge slices. I think this is a fun way to bring a little Renee home with you, so to speak. So start your shopping this weekend at Renee'sOrganicOven.com.
How about a taste for tamales?
Yeah, as we all know, the tamale anchors our holiday traditions. And our friends down at Arizona Hops and Vines in Sonoyta, they're going to be hosting a Merry Mariachi and Tamale Extravaganza tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Celebrate the season with live mariachi music, delicious tamales, all socially distanced outside around their fire pits. Some wine tastings as well. It's a delicious Saturday under the desert sun and a Weekend Watch favorite.
You know, the gift card is such a great promotion, and our friends over at Vero Amore, buy $100, get a $25 gift certificate at the two Vero Amore locations in Noble Hops. It's a great way to remember and help local restaurants, Matt.
Yeah, and the need has never been greater to support our men and women in the local restaurant community. Now is the time to buy these holiday gift cards. And as you said, Bill, you can get a little bonus for yourself. So in addition to Vero Amore, Commoner & Co. will give you a $20 card with the purchase of a $100 card. Prep & Pastry will give you a $10 card if you purchase a $50 card. I just heard that all the Trident grills, if you buy a $50 card, you're going to get $60. And at Genie's French Cafe, buy 100, get you 25. These deals will not last long, so I say run out this weekend, buy some gift cards for your friends and colleagues, and of course, keep the bonus cards for yourself.
also over at Vero Amore and Noble Hops, bring 5 cans of food before you enjoy your meal. Those 5 cans for the food bank, they'll knock $5 off your holiday ticket. So that's a good deal too. All right.
Yeah, we love the folks over there at Jan.
Matt, we will look for Inside Tucson Business in the column after the holidays. I want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season, and thanks so much over 10 years for your service to our program.
My pleasure indeed. Merry Christmas to the entire Buckmaster family.
Thank you very much, Matt Russell. Bill Buckmaster is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks and the whole team at Bustos Media Tucson, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday. Have a great one.